Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we have two episodes of Gunsmoke. It was a popular Western that was later very successful on television. This next episode is the first in the Gunsmoke series. Marshal Matt Dillon has to deal with murder and vigilantes who want justice as they see it. And he has a runaway child in his jail at the same time. This is Gunsmoke, Billy the Kid, first broadcast April 26, 1952 on CBS.
Around Dodge City, under the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke, the story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. Wanted for murder.
Wanted for murder.
Clay Richards.
Clay Richards.
Age 31.
31.
Height 6 feet. Eyes brown. Hair red.
Eyes brown, hair red. Hey, how'd you like me to print his picture on these notices? I got a woodcut. Well, let me show you. Ernie!
Yeah?
Fetch your marshal a copy of that front page. Interviewing Clay's wife yesterday, I noticed a tintype on the mantle, their wedding photograph. So, first thing you know, I snitched it.
It's very thoughtful.
Yeah, oh, I'll take it, Ernie.
Here.
And then I propped it up in front of me and carved me this woodcut. Ain't she prime? Ain't she just elegant?
Real elegant.
Good likeness, don't you think? Of course, he was 7 or 8 years younger with the tintype.
Yeah, it's a good likeness.
He cuts his hair short.
Doesn't show what makes a law-abiding man like him try to rob a bank. Doesn't look like a man who murdered an old cashier and a Chinese cook who just happened to be there. But it's a good likeness.
Yes, sir, it is. A picture like this sure dresses up the front page, don't it?
Yeah, it's a little masterpiece, Mr. Hightower. A notable contribution to the culture of Dodge City.
Well, thank you, Marshal. Does fetch the eye, don't it? I'm printing an extra 500 copies of the weekly, and I bet I sell them all. Too bad the cashier's shot went wild. If he'd managed to kill Clay or even wing him, why, I bet I could sell 1,000 extra copies.
We must be thankful for the blessings we do receive, Mr. Hightower.
Oh, I am, Marshal, I am. Why, just before it happened yesterday afternoon, I didn't know what I was going to fill my columns with, and then, like manna from heaven, 2 murders and a bank robbery.
Attempted bank robbery, Mr. Hightower. He turned and ran before he got his hands on so much as a dollar.
Yes.
Still, as you say, like manna.
Dillon, I
I'm talking business. What is it, Chester?
Well, it can wait, I guess, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, print Clay's picture on those notices, Mr. Hightower. Now, where were we?
Eyes brown, hair red.
Oh, yes. Also known as Red, Bricktop, and Sorrel. Mm-hmm. He didn't answer to no other nicknames, did he?
No, that's what they called him.
All right, then in big letters, $400 reward. Dead or alive. And at the bottom, apply Matt Dillon, Marshal, Dodge City.
Mm-hmm.
And print 200 copies. How soon can I send Chester over for him?
This afternoon.
Good morning, Mr. Hightower. Chester.
Think those posters will do any good?
Richards is probably over the line into Oklahoma or Colorado by now. That Strawberry Roan of his is the fastest in the county.
He has no money. He panicked and ran out of the bank before he got a penny. I think he'll try to get help from his wife or brother or a friend the first chance he has. Maybe tonight. I say he's around here somewhere. I'm sorry I turned on you like that, Chester.
Why, that's all right, Mr. Dillon. Out all night with a posse, no sleep, man's bound to get touchy.
No, it's not that. It's the way people use a thing like this. The men riding posse last night, they enjoyed it as though they were hunting fox or possum. Hightower back there, he acts like it was a birthday treat, specially gotten up for him. Everybody finds a way to use it. What was it you wanted to tell me?
Hmm? Oh, I got a kid, a little boy, locked up in the cell. Huh? He ran away from home, back in Cottonwood. Ed Slade turned him over to me when he come through on the stagecoach just now. Kid about 12 years old.
Whose is he?
Widow woman, Miss Bonnie. She runs a boarding house in Cottonwood. Ed says kid's always running away a little while, I guess. He flagged Ed for a ride on the road halfway between there and here. Soon as Ed seen him stand there with his bundle on his shoulder, he knowed what he was up to. So he told the kid he'd help him and then turn him over to us when he got here.
All right, we'll send a telegram to the mother to come fetch him. Well, come on in, Chester, and shut the door.
Mr. Dillon?
You're letting in every horse fly in Kansas.
Mr. Dillon, I think you better cancel the order for them notices.
What?
The Dutchman's coming up the street, and he's leading a strawberry roan, and Clay Richards is draped across his back.
Like a sack of wheat across the saddle. Last time I saw him, 2 days ago, he was standing at the bar laughing his head off. A sack of wheat across the saddle. And followed by half the saloon bums and loafers in town. All right, Chester, make him keep back.
All right, now stand back, you fellas. Come on now, back. Stand back.
Ziegler. How did it happen, Ziegler?
My goat, my old billy goat, he pushes open the fence last night and runs away.
Forget your goat. What about Clay?
Guy, I tell you, this morning I go to look for the goat. I walk here, there, near the river. I see Clay. He sits there. I say, hello, Clay. The gates.
And you dirty Dutchman. You no good dog. Clay was your best friend. He helped you buy your farm, so you kill him for your
all right, all of you. Keep back, everybody.
Clay? Me? No, my brother, he was like. We was in the war together. Peter, listen.
You killed him for the war.
Not so. I kill nobody. Not since Gettysburg. Clay is dead already when I find him. I don't even own a pistol.
Ziegler, inside, quick.
Yeah.
Chester, give me a hand with Clay.
All right, all of you. Listen up. Shut up!
I will not tolerate a disturbance. You know me.
I got him, Chester. Take his leg.
All right, kick the door shut.
Marshal, I don't kill Clay.
On this table, Chester. What'd you do with Clay's gun? His holster's empty.
Gun? Clay's? I ain't got it. I don't even own one.
Chester, see if it slipped out.
His holster was empty coming up the street. First thing I noticed. Maybe it's over on the...
Another customer? Why, it's three in less than a day. Oh, bountiful harvest. My fees this month will keep me in luxury. In luxury.
Doc, I want to have an inquest as soon as possible.
Well, as soon as I finish the autopsy. Shouldn't take long with the practice I've had this week, huh? No. Hey, late afternoon all right with you? I'll take him up to my office right now. No, thank you, Chester. I can carry him all by myself here. You just open the door there like a good fella. Marshal, tell the city fathers I'd like to make a deal when the corpses are as famous as this one. Back in 53 in San Francisco, a fella I knew earned a fortune exhibiting the head of Joaquin Murrieta. Tell them if they'll let me keep the remains, I'll do the autopsies for nothing.
Shut the door, Chester. Ziegler, where is it you met Clay on the river?
By the fort. This side by the fort.
Ride out there, Chester, and see if you can find Clay's gun. Maybe he dropped it when he was shot.
I did not shoot Clay.
Sure.
I did not. I had no reason to. I did not.
Now, you listen to me. Maybe you think Dodge has got so big I don't know about everything that goes on here. Well, if you do, you're wrong. If you think I don't know about the bank having an overdue mortgage on your farm, you're wrong. $400 is reason enough for a struggling farmer like you.
No. could not do such a thing. I am a human being.
To a peace officer, Ziegler, that's enough grounds for suspicion. But whether you did it or not will be decided at your trial. In the meantime, you just stop yammering about it.
Trial? Me?
Even when I shoot somebody, I stand trial. If they find it's justifiable homicide, and they probably will, Clay being a wanted man, then they'll let you off. And if not...
Please, I am permitted to go now.
Go. Are you crazy?
I found this stock. I must look after
it. You sit right down. You want to be lynched? You're trying to get yourself murdered? Have you forgotten about Clay's brother, Adam?
Adam would not believe I shot him.
What difference does it make whether he believes it or not? His brother's been killed. Everybody's looking to him to do something about it, and he knows it. You want me to guess where he is right this minute? He's in one of them saloons, lapping up courage to come in here and ask me to give you to him for a present. You want to know who's with him? Ever loafer, ever bum, ever slob in town. Slapping him on the back and telling him what a shame it is. Egging him on to kill you so that they can have some excitement and some fun. Well, maybe you deserve killing, but it's my job to uphold the law, and I'm not letting you out of here.
What? I tell
you might spend your time trying to think up a better story. That is, if you intend to stay in this town. All right, now think back. Didn't Clay go for his gun before you shot him?
I tell you, I didn't. If I'm not under arrest, you have no right to keep me here. I got to look after my farm. I go.
All right, Chester, lock him up.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. Come on now, Ziegler.
Help me, senor. Help me, senor.
Step out, sonny. This cage is bespoke.
Who's in there, Chester?
That little old runaway from Cottonwood.
Oh. Hey, come over here, son. Come over here to me.
I know who you are.
You do, do you?
You bet. You're Matt Dillon.
I'm guilty.
I knowed you right off. You was pointed out to me one day back home. Filler says you was the fastest gun thrower in Kansas.
Wyatt Earp wouldn't be awful interested to hear that, I'm afraid.
Filler says you was faster than Old Earp. Faster than Wild Bill Hickok in Hay City and Fat Masterson or any of them. How many fellas have you killed?
You don't keep score, son. It's something you try to forget.
Not me. Someday I'll be famous like you, and for every feller I kill, I'll put a notch on my gun. People will see those notches, and they'll know they better not try.
Why'd you run away from home, bub? Don't you know your mother's likely to worry about you?
Oh, she won't worry. She's too busy working. You ain't gonna make me go back, are you? Wouldn't do that, would you?
Well...
Because it wouldn't stop me for long. I'd only run away again.
Oh, where are you off to in such a sweat?
Oh, Texas, California, Mexico... A fella can accomplish things there, not like living in old Cottonwood. If you let me go, someday when I'm famous, you can tell people you helped get me started.
Well, that's a pretty strong inducement. I'll have to think about it for a while. And look, while I'm making up my mind, I want you to give me your word. Word of a man who'll be famous someday that you won't try to run away from me. Otherwise, I'll have to have... Chester, lock you up again.
Oh, I'll shake on that.
Good, good. Now, Chester, I want you to go look for Clay's gun.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
And on the way, stop off and send that telegram. You know?
Hmm? Oh, that telegram. Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Where's Ziegler?
It's all right, Chester. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Where's that murdering dog? Oh, there you are, you...
Not a single step further, Adam.
I want him, Dillon. He murdered Clay, shot him down without giving him a chance.
How do you know?
Because Clay wouldn't have let anyone catch him off guard except a friend. A friend. Now, Dillon, give me that Dutchman.
Try to take it.
Just like that?
It's like that.
And it's true what the fellas say. You made a deal with the Dutchman to give him the reward and protect him if he'd kill Clay for you.
That was the deal, was it?
Yeah.
The fellas say why I'd make such a deal?
Dillon, it ain't no longer a secret around town that you and Francie warned each other. But Clay was in the way. You had him killed so you could get his wife. Do you deny it?
No. No. It'll serve as well as any other crazy story. It'll work you up.
You think you're safe behind that star, don't you? Well, Clay has friends, lots of them. I'm coming back with them friends, and we'll get the Dutchman and you and anyone else who tries to stop us.
All right, Adam. I'll be waiting.
Yeah. You wait.
I almost seen something pretty just then, didn't I, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, almost. About another pint of whiskey ought to do it.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment, but first, many radio shows win high popularity with the prizes and cash they give away, but there's one show that's tops because the head man gives away as little as possible. What other radio program could it be but the Jack Benny Show? So be listening. And now, with William Conrad starred as Matt Dillon, here's the second act of Gunsmoke.
Son?
You say something, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, open that drawer in front of you there. You'll find a small bottle of oil in there. No, no, the one to the right. Yeah, that's it. Now, bring a little brush, too, huh?
Here it is.
Thanks, bub.
It's the right nice gun you have.
Yeah, it's not bad, but a little stiff, just a little stiff.
Don't it have a trigger? I never seen no gun without a trigger before.
Oh, you remove a trigger, or tie it back against a guard. And all you have to do is thumb a hammer. Yeah, like that. It's faster. Yeah, that's better now.
Remove the trigger. I'll remember that.
What in the world for?
Well, I remember everything you told me. About the Texas holster and the spring holster and the double roll and filing off the sight.
It's just me, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, any luck, Chester?
No, sir, not any. I went to the store first and asked Mr. Denton what kind of ammunition Clay Richard used to buy, and he told me Clay had a double-action .44. I scarred that riverbank a half mile each way from the ford, and not a sign of it. I got that telegram off. You know who ought to be here pretty soon. It's only 7-8 miles from...
Is there a fire in town?
Funeral services for Mr. Grinnell, the cashier.
So soon?
It's awful hot weather.
Yeah. Any of your guns need oiling, Chester?
I don't think so.
You sure? When Adam left, he said he'd be coming back. With some friends.
I know. I stopped at the Oliphaganti just now to rinse out my mouth. Adam was there talking mighty ugly and mighty big. He's got a sizable following.
Yeah. When, do you think?
Any minute now, Mr. Dillon. Want me to take Bob out of here to one of the hotels, maybe?
I
want to
see him.
No, I think you'll be safer here, Chester, behind stone walls and dodging about the streets rubbernecking.
You keep your head down, sonny. You hear? There's a...
Matt, I got to talk to you.
She ought to be in mourning. If she cared for Clay at all anymore, she ought to be in black.
Matt.
Oh, Lord, I find her more beautiful all the time.
Matt, have you heard what they're saying?
What are they saying, Francie?
That you made it. That you made Pete Ziegler kill him because of...
I'm sorry that got back to you, Francie.
It's all over Dodge. Adam almost strangled me before they dragged him off.
Francie, I didn't shoot Clay. Francie, I beg you, believe me.
Shut up, Ziegler. Shut up or I'll club you to death! Francie, is just one of those crazy stories. They needed one and they made one up.
But, Matt, everyone believes it. On my way down here, people were pointing, whispering. Old women clucking their tongues at me. They believe it.
They'll forget it as soon as this is over. They'll remember that even if we once did go with each other, it was finished and done with even before the war ended, before you even met Clay.
No, they won't forget it. For the rest of my life, as long as I stay here...
Hold it a minute, Francie. Yeah, Doc, what is it?
Oh, am I interrupting?
What is it, Doc?
Autopsy's finished. I examined his liver and lights his...
This is Mrs. Richards, Doc.
Oh, I beg your pardon, ma'am. I'm sure I make no disrespect for the departed.
Well?
Well, Clay was shot all right, but from the nature of the wound and the coagulation of the blood, I'd say it happened sometime yesterday. I'd say the cashier's bullet didn't go wild after all.
How could a dead man gallop away?
Well, the wound wasn't what killed Clay. The ball hit the rib case and bounced off. .22 caliber it was. And what did kill him was the stab in the back, right through the spine. Inflicted sometime this morning. Now, near as I can judge by a small blade, oh, 2-3 inches long. It could have been a Barlow knife.
Thanks, Doc.
Please accept my condolences, Mr. Richard. You call the inquest anytime you're ready, Marshal.
Chester, close the door.
You see, I didn't do it. I didn't shoot him.
All right, then you stabbed him, maybe. You said you never carried a gun. Look, Francie, go home and give matters a chance to simmer
Matt,
down.
Matt, I'm going to ask you for something.
Yeah?
Turn Pete Ziegler out into the street.
What? Francie, they're itching to get their hands on him.
Let him have him. It'll prove that story's a lie, that you didn't make a deal with him. Please, Matt, I have to live here. Tell me, I have to live here. Matt. Don't look at me like that.
Go home, Francie. Go home or leave town or hang yourself or anything you like. Just go away. Away. Right now.
I bought me a bottle at the Alafragans, Mr. Dillon. Would you care for a drink?
No.
Guess the funeral's over.
There'll be others.
Funny. Now I miss that bell. Awful quiet, ain't it? It's just...
Just about on schedule. Are you ready, Chester?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
I'd use a shotgun if I were you. It's more effective when there's a mob to be dealt with.
Oh, yes, sir, I aim to.
Ziegler, and you too, son. If trouble starts, lie down flat on the floor and keep your head down all the time. Don't gawk to see what's happening. You understand me?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
All right.
Dillon! Dillon! Come on, Dillon!
Chester, I want you to stand here in the doorway after I go out, where you can cover the back door and me at the same time.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
All right, Chester. Open the door.
Come on out. It's my duty to warn all of you that you're in the breach of the peace. I've sworn to uphold the law. I've killed men in order to do it, and I'm prepared to do so again.
Give us a Dutchman, Dillon.
Man! I ask you to be sensible and to leave quietly. But if you refuse to listen to reason, if you insist upon being fools, if you've already decided to act like wolves instead of humans, then there's nothing I can say to make you change your minds.
A Dutchman.
All right, you want Peter Ziegler? Well, he's not more than 20 feet behind me, so come on and get him, any of you. One at a time or all at once. Come on! Which one of you wants to die first? You? You? You, Adam? Well, what do you say, Adam? You let him here. Don't let this star on my coat stop you. Come on! There, I'm not wearing it now. Well, come on, draw, Adam, draw!
You all right, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. Get his gun.
Man alive, I couldn't even see your hand move.
Marshal! Oh, don't tell me.
Doc, you make one single funny remark and I'll knock you down. You just take him to your office and get to work.
Well, I never do mean to offend, Marshal. In my line of work, well, bodies, they're just so much lumber.
Make all the jokes about them you please, but not to me and not in my hearing. In my line of work, there's nothing humorous about death. Give him a hand, Chester.
You know, I can handle the marshal. Thank you.
Thank you. Just the same.
Can you direct me to the marshal's office?
Yes, ma'am, right here. I'm Marshal Dillon.
Well, I left Cottonwood as soon as I got your telegram. I'm Miss Bonnie. Where's my boy?
Oh, we have him, ma'am, safe and sound. Here, let me help you down. Hitch that horse, Chester. Right this way, ma'am.
Oh, I'm so sorry he put you in all that trouble, Marshal. The truth of the matter is, he's a wild one and no mistake. Takes after his father, one scrape after another.
He was no trouble at all. I enjoy children. I like to have them around. Bub, your ma's here. Son? Chester, where's the boy? Did you let him slip past you?
No, sir, Mr. Dillon. He never got past me. Look, the back door's open.
He seen me and he hightailed it, the devil.
We'll round him up for you, ma'am. Don't worry.
Oh, I don't know why I bother hauling him back. If he's run away once, he's run away 1,000 times. This time he ran because I wouldn't buy him a gun. He wanted a real one. That boy's just gun crazy, I swear. I got him a nice Barlow knife instead.
Barlow knife.
I reckon it didn't signify, and off he runs.
Barlow knife?
That kid. Chester, find that kid.
Marshal, has he done something bad with it? I told him to use it careful. He promised he'd use it careful.
Never mind, Chester. He's got Clay's strawberry roan. We'd never catch up to him.
Oh, I try to bring him up right. I tell him to be good, but he don't listen. He just don't listen.
Now, calm yourself, ma'am. Just calm yourself.
Here's his little bundle, Mr. Dillon.
What? Yeah, give it to me. That's pretty heavy. Here, you're better at knots than I am. Open it, will you?
From the moment he was born, he's been nothing but tribulation to me.
Now, please, ma'am. What's he got in it, Chester?
Shirt, stockings, piece of sausage, and this.
44 double action.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. That's Clay's gun. Sonny didn't manage to keep it long, did he?
Well, if he wants a gun that bad, he's bound to get hold of another one somewhere, somehow. Chester, call Mr. Hightower over.
Hey! Hey, Mr. Hightower! Oh. Come on over. Mr. Dillon wants you.
Marshal, could I have a drink of water?
What? Oh, Ziegler, I forgot all about you. Chester, where are the keys?
Yeah, right there on the desk.
Yeah. There we are. It'll be safe for you to go home now.
I can go back by the farm.
Yeah, that's right. I'll send for you for the trial.
Oh, danke schön. Danke schön.
Watch where you're going, you dumb...
Excuse me, bitte.
Yes, Marshal.
Mr. Hightower, it appears that we can do business after all. Get some paper and a pencil. I want some notices printed.
Fire away.
Wanted for murder.
Wanted for murder.
What's the boy's name?
Bonnie. William Bonnie.
William Bonnie.
William Bonnie.
Age 12. Height about 5 feet. 5 feet. Hair light. Eyes blue. Mm-hmm. I don't suppose he's known by any other name.
No. Everybody just called him Billy. Or the kid.
Also known as Billy. The kid.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Walter Newman, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in tonight's cast were Don Diamond, Parley Bear, Harry Bartell, and Howard McNair, with Richard Beals, Paul Dubov, Georgia Ellis, and Mary Lansing. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Those longtime favorites, Amos and Andy, are rising to new heights in their CBS radio series on Sunday nights. Heard on most of these same stations, Amos and Andy find trouble as constantly as ever and make it just as funny and as human as they have for more than 20 years. Be sure to hear Amos and Andy this Sunday, won't you? Right after the Jack Benny Show. This is Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, there's fast, funny quizzing on The Bob Hawke Show every Monday evening. This is the CBS Radio Network.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week throughout the World Wide Web. We have another episode of Gunsmoke that is very dramatic. Set in Dodge City, Kansas, Matt Dillon is tasked with finding justice in what was in the 1870s the Wild West. He has to deal with a man who intends to settle a grudge with murder. Enjoy Gunsmoke, Gentleman's Disagreement, first broadcast July 26, 1952, on CBS.
Thank you. town Dark City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Jeannie, what's the matter?
Good morning, Miss Wells.
Good morning, Chester. Matt, I've got to talk to you.
Sure. Chester?
You folks will have to excuse me. I can't be puttering around the office all day. I'll be in the back if you want me.
Yeah?
Matt, he's here in Dodge City. I just saw him. He came in on the morning train.
You mean Ed Beaudry?
Yes. It's been 4 years, Matt. I'd begun to hope he'd forget. Hope he wouldn't find us.
From what you've told me, Beaudry doesn't sound like a man who ever forgets.
He's come here looking for Bert. To kill him, he swore he would. Matt, what are we going to do?
I don't know. What's Bert think about it?
He doesn't know yet. He's busy at the blacksmith shop. Matt, you've got to help us. You're the only real friend we have out here.
It might make it easier if I weren't, Jeannie. I'm supposed to maintain law and order in Dodge. That's my job. Doesn't leave much leeway to mix in on personal quarrels.
Well, there's no quarrel. It's just that Ed Beaudry's a hot-tempered fool. Bert never did anything to him.
He married you, didn't he?
A woman has a right to change her mind, Matt.
Maybe Beaudry doesn't think so.
Matt, you promised me once in Louisville...
Yeah. Yeah, I know. All right, Jeannie, go on home and don't say anything to Bert. I'll talk to Beaudry.
Thank you. I'll never forget it. Goodbye, Matt.
Chester.
Yes, sir. I'll be right there, Mr. Dillon. Did Ms. Wells leave?
Yeah.
Fine couple, the Wellses. Did you know them before they came out west?
Not Bert. I knew Mrs. Wells. I guess we better drop over to the Texas Trail, Chester. There's a fella in town planning to do some killing.
It's been a long time.
Are you kidding?
Hello, Chester.
Miss Kitty?
Come sit down, Matt. Tell me about things.
I can't right now, Kitty. We're looking for a fellow. Thought he might have come in here.
Sooner or later, they all do. Stranger, Matt?
Yeah. He came in on the morning train. His name's Ed Beaudry.
Oh, him. There, the bar, Matt. Third from the end, next to Tulsa Jim Nixon. He's buying Irish whiskey for everybody.
Thank you, Kitty. Come on, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Watch yourself, Matt.
Yeah, sure, Kitty. I'll see you later.
All right, bartender. Set up another round of Jameson's for the house.
Your name, Beaudry?
Oh, that's right, mister.
Matt Dillon. I'm a U.S. Marshal here. I'd like to talk to you.
Fine. Go ahead and talk.
Tulsa... Suppose you'll move on down the bar for a couple of minutes, huh?
No, what's the idea, Marshal? This man's a friend of mine.
You're not very particular about your friends. Now go on, Tulsa, drift. Mr. Beaudry, you came here to kill Bert Wells, didn't you?
Did I?
Well, here's some advice. Don't do it. Take the next train and get out of town.
Is that official? Just what's the charge, Marshal?
None. Yet. Murder, if you go through it.
Well, not the way I understand it. Murder's one thing. Calling a man in a fair fight, that's another thing.
Beaudry, I'm the law here in Dodge, and I don't see it as a fair fight. Bert's a blacksmith, and he's not used to handling a gun. You are. And so I'm told.
Who told you, Marshal? I don't know anybody here. Wait a minute. Dillon? Yeah. I heard Jeannie mention you. You knew her back in Louisville before she ran off.
We'll leave her out of this, Beaudry.
So that's it. This isn't official. You're just doing a personal favor for an old friend. Probably a very close friend. Jeannie always did have a weakness.
I warned you once. All right, hold it. Now get up, Beaudry.
That was a mistake, Dillon. Now I'll have to kill you, too.
I'm not a blacksmith, Beaudry.
I'll look you up just soon as I've finished with Bert Wells.
If you kill Bert, you won't have to look me up. Talk to you, Bert.
About what, Matt?
Ed Beaudry's in town.
Beaudry? Well, it was bound to happen sometime. Has he been bothering Jeannie?
No, she just happened to see him get off the train this morning. She came and told me.
She shouldn't have done it, Matt. It's not your problem.
Maybe it is, Bert. I'm the law in Dodge, and the law doesn't like the idea of personal grudges ended up in a killing.
What do you aim to do?
Yeah, prevent it if I can.
Well, I wish you luck.
You haven't worn that gun for 2 years, Bert. Why start now?
I've got no choice, Matt. You know that.
You mean you got no chance? If you let Beaudry call a showdown, he'll kill you.
Maybe.
Look, Bert, why don't you take to the prairie, hold up for a week or so while I figure some way of running Beaudry out of town, huh?
Would you do it, Matt? Hide out and let somebody else do your fighting for you?
Well, what I'd do is...
That's beside the point, Bert.
Jeannie.
There's a law against killing. And it's Matt's job to enforce it. If you went away, there wouldn't be any fight.
Wouldn't be much honor either, Jeannie. Man can't run and still call himself a man.
He can run from a mad dog. And that's what Ed Beaudry is. He never had any claim on me.
It appears he thought he did. Matt... You know where Beaudry stand?
I talked to him in the Texas Trail. He probably took one of the rooms upstairs.
Like to walk over there with me?
Well, if that's the way you want it.
No, Bert, you...
I'll get my hat. Be right with you.
Bert, you've got to stop it.
Yeah? How?
I don't know. But there must be something you can do.
Yeah, there is. Boy, it's shaping up. I can probably arrest the survivor. But there's still time to turn back, Bert.
Afraid not, Matt. Should have had it out with Beaudry back there in Kentucky 5 years ago. Jeannie wanted to run away and avoid trouble, and she was so beautiful it was hard to argue with her.
Yeah, I know. Be hard on her if anything happened to you.
Life's always hard on a woman, I guess. Worse out here on the prairie. Look out for her, Matt, in case I... Well, I mean, if anything...
Mr. Dillon?
Huh? Oh, what is it, Chester?
Beaudry left the saloon a little while ago. Went over to the livery stable to hire a horse.
Huh?
I think he's riding out to your place, Mr. Wells. He's been doing a lot of talking.
Jeannie will be there alone, Matt. I better get back home.
Won't be necessary. Here comes Beaudry now.
I won't draw unless he does, Matt.
Heads up, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. Oh. Just riding out to call on you, Wells. I decided you'd had plenty of time to look me up.
No reason to, Beaudry.
Most men would figure they had reason. Somebody been in a local saloon, telling their wife's history.
What? Beaudry, you...
All right, hold it. Don't draw, Bert. Chester, cover Beaudry.
Just keep your hands still, Mr. Beaudry.
You're fast with that gun, Dillon.
Fast enough, Mr. Beaudry.
You make
Beaudry.
A good bodyguard. Too bad you can't ride her 24 hours a day.
I told you what to expect if you keep pushing this thing, Mr. Beaudry. Now, use some sense and get out of town while you're still alive.
I've been in lots of towns, Dillon, and I left them all alive. Wells, I've been planning to kill you for 5 years.
Plans don't always work out.
Listen, Will. You got till sundown. After that, I'm going to shoot you on sight.
All right, Mr. Beaudry, if you've finished speaking your piece, move along.
Why, surely, Mr. Dillon. See you later.
Well, still a couple of hours before sundown. Think I'd like to spend them with Jeannie. I'll see you, Matt.
Yeah, sure. Goodbye, Bert.
I declare, I just can't see any way of stopping it, Mr. Dillon.
I can't either.
I'd sure hate to be in Bert Wells' shoes.
I'd hate worse to be in Beaudry's. He'll never submit to arrest. Chester, I'm going to have to kill him.
Why don't you relax, Matt? You're nervous as a cat.
Yeah, and I'll stay nervous, Kitty, until I find out what's happened to those two.
Beaudry slipped out the back way just at dusk. Piano player saw him.
Yeah. Well, Bert pulled the same trick. I had a couple of boys watching the blacksmith shop, but he managed to give them a slip.
There's nothing you can do now, Matt.
Well.
Another killing. And you in the middle again. Why, Matt? Why do you do it?
It's a job, Kitty. Somebody's got to do it.
But why you? There are other things in life if you look around for them.
Well, maybe I will someday.
Will you look my way, Matt?
Well, Matt, I brought my kit. I'm all prepared.
Where are the victims?
No victims yet, Doc. You're jumping the gun.
Well, I understand it's going to be a real showdown. The boys at the bar are offering 2-1 on Beaudry.
That's about the odds I figure if the shooting really starts.
Oh, it'll start all right. Oh, there's not a thing in the world can stop it.
Dillon?
Chester, what are you doing in here? I told you to watch that street.
Yes, sir, I know you did.
The fight's as likely to start out there as any place else.
No, sir, Mr. Dillon. I guess there's not going to be any fight.
What?
They just found Beaudry lying in an alley down the block.
Matt.
Somebody sneaked up behind him with a hammer. He's sure dead.
We'll return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, what is the connection between the statue in the square and a pair of thugs who are definitely not on the square with the law? Tonight on Gangbusters, hear the complete details of this exciting case taken from actual police files. Remember, it's Gangbusters later tonight on most of these same CBS radio stations. Don't miss it. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
light showing around the house, Mr. Dillon.
No. Nor the shop either. He might have skipped out.
Well, what about his wife, though?
I don't know, Chester. I can't figure any of this. It's not like Bert to pull a sneaking trick like that.
Hold it! Don't move.
He's there by the tree, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Bert?
Who is it? Who's that?
Matt. Chester's with me. You better put away the gun.
All right, Matt. I thought it was somebody else.
Who, Bert?
You know who. Beaudry, of course.
Guess I better take your gun.
Official, Matt?
Official.
Well, I got no quarrel with the law. Here.
Thank you. Now, why did you do it?
What do you mean?
If it had been a gunfight, the law couldn't have touched you. Now, the circumstances are all in your favor. But this way, they'll call it murder, and they'll be right, because that's what it was.
Matt, what are you talking about?
It's no use. You left the hammer lying right beside his body. It's got your shop brand carved in the handle of it.
Whose body are you talking about? You mean Beaudry?
Yeah, sure, Beaudry.
Matt, you're making a mistake. I went looking for Beaudry, yes, but I didn't find him. Then I come back here. I was afraid to leave Jeannie there in the house alone. I didn't do it, Matt, you're wrong.
It's not up to me, Bert. It's the court's job. All I can do is take you in. The evidence is too strong and I got no choice.
No choice? I didn't have a choice either. We must have had a choice somewhere back down the line. When? Where was it we could have stopped and turned back?
I'm a marshal, not a philosopher. Now, let's go.
What about Jeannie? I got to tell her.
Chester will take care of it.
It'd be better if you'd do it, Matt. You're a friend. That'd make it easier.
I'd rather not if you don't mind. Now, come on, let's go. Step inside.
4 years we've been friends, Matt. I never thought it would come to this.
Neither did I.
You said you didn't find any money on him. It could have been robbery.
Or made to look like robbery. But either way, there's nothing I can do. Now you better step inside. Now, look. I'll bring you some blankets and tobacco. If you want anything else, let me know.
Wish I knew how Jeannie was taking it.
She'll be all right. She's a fine girl.
Matt. Matt, look out for her, will you?
Bert, a man's job is one thing, friendship's another. This prairie country is rough and tough and wild at the best. And without the law, nobody could survive in it. And that means putting friendship aside sometimes. But a man still doesn't forget. Yeah, I'll look out for her.
Thanks, Matt.
I'll see you later.
Well, you get your prisoner tucked in safely, Matt.
What about Beaudry?
He's dead. Absolutely dead. Like I never saw anybody any deader. Blacksmith hammer makes a mighty fine weapon.
Yeah, at least for sneaking up behind.
I can't figure Bert doing that. It's not like him.
Sometimes a man changes under pressure, Doc. Yeah, I can't figure it either.
What would you say his chances are?
Bad. Straws all point one way.
Huh, yes. Maybe somebody's been messing with the straw stack.
Who?
That's a good question, Matt.
Well, the court will ask it.
Yeah, if he ever gets there.
What do you mean?
I just come from Texas Trail a while ago, and some of the boys are kind of riled up. They're talking real loose.
No law against talking.
Doubt if they aim to leave it at talking, Matt. They figure the evidence is a little on the weak side. A court might turn Bert loose. So they're saying it's up to them.
Yeah, they're just mad because they've lost their source of free drinks.
Well, maybe so, but you better keep your eyes open, Matt.
Yeah, I know that pack, Doc. They hunt in the dark and pull down stragglers. And mostly they just talk. So don't worry. Bert's in jail, and that's where he's going to stay.
Matt, I want to see Bert.
No visitors after dark. It's a jail rule.
Rules don't have to be enforced.
Mine do. Bert's a prisoner, same as any other prisoner. He's charged with murder.
He didn't do it, Matt.
It's not for me to say.
But you know he didn't. You know Bert. You know he wouldn't do a thing like that. Sneak up behind a man's back in the dark.
I'm not the court, Jeannie.
I know. And they'll believe he did it.
Yeah, the night train's coming in. Hope it's not bringing in trouble.
The morning train did. Matt, I want to see Bert.
I told you that you... Why, you little fool. Give me the gun, Jeannie.
No, I warn you, Matt, stay back.
Give me the gun.
No, Matt. So help me,
I said hand it over. What did you hope to gain by that?
I don't know. Get Bert out. Maybe I don't know. None of this is his fault. Something's got to be done. Matt, you've got to help me.
Easy.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
I just come from the Texas Trail. I think there's going to be some trouble.
Trouble?
The bunch that hangs out around there are doing a lot of drinking and talking up the idea of coming over here to the jail.
Oh, no.
Well, maybe we ought to go over there and do some talking ourselves. Jenny, I think the best thing for you to do is to go back home and stay there till morning.
But...
Now, don't worry about this. Nothing's going to happen.
Oh, but, Matt, you can't handle that crowd alone.
I've been handling things alone for a long time. All right, Chester.
Tulsa Jim Nixon's the one who's been egging him on, Mr. Dillon. Over there at the end of the bar.
Yeah, he struck up an acquaintance with Beaudry when he first got off the train. Guess he figures he's an old partner by now. Well, come on.
Yes, sir.
Matt, wait.
Later, Kitty. I got some business with the boys at the bar.
That's what I mean. Tulsa Jim's been buying them drinks the last 2 hours. They're in a real nasty mood.
So?
So be careful, Matt. That's all. Just be careful.
Kitty, I'm the carefulest man you know.
Sure. We got the law here in Dodge. Supposedly. But what kind of a law is it that lets a man sneak up behind somebody in the dark and murder him in cold blood?
I don't know, Tulsa. Suppose you tell me.
Dillon.
Now, don't let me interrupt you. You were doing fine. Well, this is quite an audience you got. All the panhandlers, bums, and barflies in Dodge. It's quite a collection.
Well, calling names won't change the facts, Dillon.
What facts?
A friend of yours, Bert Wells, that sneaking, cowardly murderer.
That's for the court to decide, Tulsa.
The court? They'll turn him loose. They work hand in glove with you. Dillon, we're not going to stand for it.
That's right. All right, shut up! So you're not going to stand for it, huh? Well, just what are you planning to do?
You'll find out in due time, Dillon. Bartender, set him up again all around.
Yeah, you've turned into quite a free spender, Tulsa. I never knew you to... Ah, double eagle gold piece. You mind if I take a look at it?
It's good. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Where'd you get it?
That's my business, Dillon.
So you're the one who killed Beaudry.
That's a lie.
I thought robbing him was just a cover-up, but it wasn't. There aren't many double eagles around Dodge. Beaudry had a lot of them. Now you. Why would you get a pocket full of gold pieces, Tulsa?
Wells killed Beaudry. The blacksmith hammer was lying right beside him.
Yes, where you left it.
What does she mean?
Tulsa Jim came into my husband's shop late this afternoon. His horse had thrown a shoe. He had plenty of chance to steal that hammer.
She's lying.
Where did you get the gold, Tulsa?
A lie. I won it in the poker game. Last week when the trail herd would...
Tulsa, you're under arrest for murder.
Oh. No, you'll never take me!
All right, Doc. You better get up an inquest.
Confound it, Matt. You never give me any chance to practice on live people.
Yeah. You wouldn't know what to do with them, Doc.
Well, I do get fewer complaints this way.
Matt, does this mean that Bert's free?
You shouldn't have come here, Jeannie. Yeah, he's free. Chester will go with you over to the jail and let him out.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for everything. You told me one time in Louisville that...
Louisville? That was a long time ago and a long way off. So, goodbye, Jeannie.
Goodbye, Matt. What's it all about, Matt?
What? What's anything all about, kidding? Professor, what do you say? Let's have a little tune, huh?
Why, sure thing, Mr. Dillon. What'd you like to hear?
Oh, how about that one of Foster's? Jeannie. Jeannie with the light brown hair.
You bet.
You knew her before, didn't you, Matt?
Yeah, I met her in Louisville one summer. Saw her quite a lot for a couple of months. And then I drifted out west.
A man misses out on things by drifting.
I told her then if she ever needed help to call on me.
Well, she called, and you helped her.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, that's that.
Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, Kitty.
When are you going to help yourself?
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in our cast were Tom Tully, Lynn Allen, Larry Dobkin, Georgia Ellis, and Barney Phillips. Parley Bear is Chester, and Howard McNear is Doc. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. What are the tunes most people like best? For the answer to that question, listen to Robert Q. Lewis's Waxworks later tonight over most of these same CBS radio stations. Stay tuned now for Broadway Is My Beat, which follows immediately over most of these same radio stations. Roy Rowan speaking. On a Sunday afternoon, the music's delightful on the CBS Radio Network. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. We appreciate your taking time to tune in as we broadcast the best of old radio in the best sound available. I hope you can join us again next week when we have Jimmy Stewart as the Six Shooter. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.